You know, today we are going to be talking about what I would say is the most important part of building any business and really building any dream, having happiness in our lives. And it's all about those people that we put in our lives, those people that give us the confidence, those people that help us to overcome fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And those people are critical when we're building a business. And the three things that I'm going to be hitting on, I think in the most passionate way I can, is number one, attacking your passion, right? So many of us have these big dreams of doing what we want to do, but at some point we get distracted and we end up forgetting to attack. And we want people in our lives that want to be a part of that attack plan. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today, but also probably going to be making it clear what I feel is the most important decision that we make as business leaders, really as anybody who's driven to success in their lives, and that is committing our resources most opportunistically, right? How we put our money and our time and our employees to work to help us accomplish those goals. And we're also going to talk about, and this is all in a context of putting the right people in our lives to help us do these things, right? And the third one, though, is when we think about our purpose and our why, are we able to vocalize that? The third thing I'm going to be focusing on today is amplifying our why. It's so important to winning in business. I think you're going to like this. You're going to get a little of my personal beliefs today. I hope you enjoy the show. Before we jump into today's episode, let's hear from one of our partners.
In the city of Roseau, small businesses are of the utmost importance. They make up over 80% of our local economy, and they're really kind of the bloodline of our community. And I think it's critical that we support these folks because, you know, when our small businesses secede, the city secedes.
That's Wayne Wiley, an economic development manager for the city of Roseville. The support that the city of Roseville gives small businesses is unprecedented. Let's hear about how they responded to the COVID-19 crisis and helped the businesses in their city.
We have the stabilization loan program where we offered $1 million loan program up to $20,000 for small businesses with the intent of helping cover operating expenses such as payroll, lease, mortgages. And we put this together within a matter of weeks and rolled it out. And essentially, we were able to help over 100 businesses. And we issued over $1 million in loans. And that was 1,100 jobs that were impacted by this program.
Now, that's a city that truly cares about its people and its businesses. Their quick response to COVID helped over 1,000 people keep their jobs. And let's face it, that's a big deal. And now that businesses look to plan for a post-COVID world, let's learn about what Roseville has established to support economic growth.
Programs that will provide funding sources for businesses, not only the existing businesses here in Roseville, but businesses that may be interested in locating to Roseville. And this money would help offset some of those startup costs related to entitlements like planning permits, building permit costs, improvement costs. And another thing is, you know, we collaborated with Roseville Chamber and the county to provide PPE to businesses, because now as we move into this new normal, you know, face covering, for instance, that's going to be a requirement of a lot of businesses and a lot of folks that are out and about. And so we provided free material to businesses throughout Roseville. In addition to that, we've adapted our marketing strategy. We have a Business Matters, which is a newsletter that goes out. We're really focusing on promoting local business, encouraging people to shop local, to eat local, and really hoping that that message resonates with our residents.
They are not only supporting small businesses already in Roseville, but they are also creating incentives for companies to move to Roseville. And post-COVID, we see nearly every business considering where their operations will enjoy the most strategic opportunity. Wayne, can you give us an example of a success story from your program?
Well, RPM National, a small marketing firm, and the reason why this story really resonated with me is because I could hear the emotion in the person's voice that I was talking to. And so they had 7 employees, and they said our stabilization loan really helped kind of be that stopgap and carry them over. Now, mind you, this was when PPP wasn't fully vetted. There were still a lot of changes that were occurring. Banks didn't really know how they were going to roll out and issue the loans. So the city's loan program was really the only hope that a lot of businesses had at the time. But this one company, the person told me that if it weren't for the stabilization loan program, they may have laid off folks. But not only that, it also gave the business owner hope because the amount of money that he received helped pay for his rent and some of the other overhead costs.
If you are a business leader, you can have public advocates working with you and those working with Wayne Riley and the economic development team consider themselves lucky that they have a city that has their back. If you want to get in touch with Wayne to ask questions about these programs, or you want to explore the opportunities the city of Roseville provides to businesses, connect with Wayne Riley and his team today by visiting roseville.ca.us and look at the economic development page under business services. You can also email Wayne at wwiley@roseville.ca.us.
We're back. The Mark Haney Show, another episode where we're learning more about the Mark Haney story. We've heard about learning to be an entrepreneur and scaling as an entrepreneur and then building the backyard. And now I think we're getting into content that's really important for these entrepreneurs that we're trying to get to the backyard. And that is, you know, how to build your inner circle, what you call the power of with. So if you would, Mark, just summarize what the power of with is to you.
Well, I think about any time I've started a business, I've had some crazy idea and found someone to sort of do it with me, right? I haven't really started these businesses alone. And I always felt like the quality of my business partners or my inner circle, that team, those confidants, the people that were really going through it with me, the quality of those people were really, and the way we worked together was really, I guess, they really shaped the trajectory of our success, right? Or a lack of success, right? So when I've tried to go either on the cheap or with somebody kind of doing it part-time, sort of, you know, the success didn't work. We failed, we sputtered, we stumbled, it created all kinds of anxiety. But when a team comes together in a way where everybody wants the same thing, there's low ego, and really the dream at the end, the goal at the end is really all that's important. And we want the others in the inner circle to succeed as much as we want that for ourselves. You know, it's always become so much more possible. So I really believe wholeheartedly that nobody builds a truly great company alone. And that begins with who is in our inner circle, who we spend the most time with. And I think that that's true for entrepreneurship, but I also think that that's true for life, whether it be in your family, the inner circle in the family, the inner circle at the office, the inner circle in every aspect of our life, our friends, in our social life. The quality of those people really are key because, I mean, if you think about it, because you know, any great business is going to end up building a great team ultimately. But think about driving down the car in high school, and you roll down the window and you say, "Hey, you want to get in the car with us?" The people are going to look at the driver and the other people in the car and decide, do they want to get in the car or not, right? So they look at the people in your inner circle and decide, do they want to get in the car or not? So if you have people in your inner circle that nobody wants to get in the car with, you know what? You're not going to build a very solid team.
Yeah. And you talk about entrepreneurs, you know, the death of an entrepreneur is solitude, and that, you know, entrepreneurs can fail to start or struggle because of fear and uncertainty and doubt. And, you know, you really help people understand how the team propels you through that. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, how this team, now that you found this inner circle, helps you, you know, get over those issues.
Yeah. Fear, uncertainty, doubt. Some people might be listening going, well, I don't have that. Look, I've never met anybody truly that didn't have uncertainty, that leads to doubts, that runs into an obstacle, and it's a little bit scary at times. Everybody has it in any endeavor. And if you don't, you're lying to yourself. I don't know of anybody who doesn't have that. So I think the first step is like admitting that we have that, and that the people, for me, it's my opinion that the way to get over that is having those people in your life that help you not feel that way. And so who are they? That they're probably different for everybody, right? For me, I'm thinking about people that bring out the greatness in me, right? Because none of us is great at everything. So I think about who makes up for those things that I lack, and where do I fill in for other areas. So what pieces do you need? And I think in business, we do need somebody who is the product person. We certainly do. Somebody who really understands the service or product and how in the market and so on. And then we do need somebody who understand sales and marketing and revenue and really can get people to buy stuff, because really you're not going to build a very big business if all you got is product and nobody's buying it. So somebody's got to be able to drive marketing. And then the other thing is, as that starts working, and even as you approach any business, somebody needs to understand the numbers, because if it doesn't pencil out at the end of the day, you can run yourself out of business, even if you are selling a lot of stuff. So you need somebody on the financial side. So financial, product, and sales and marketing are key, and the right combination of the three is essential. And nobody's great at any of them. Nobody I know is great at any of those things. There are people who are kind of good at a lot of it, but not great at all of it.
So when you think about building the center circle, I know that you have told people that there's three things that you really need to focus on. And the first of those three things is attacking your passion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, if you want to build a great team. So how do you build the great team, right? That's kind of the question. And I've touched on this a little bit in earlier shows, but, you know, is it okay to have passion? Yes. But what's more important than having passion is the way that we attack our passion, right? It's our actions that really speak louder than what's in our heart or what we feel. It's really the way we attack. And there's something very magical and attractive about people that attack, right? When people are attacking their passion in a way that is uncommon, other people take notice of that. And it's when people take notice of that, right? They get a little bit of attention. It's the perfect way to attract a business partner. So I know that I'm attracted to business partners based upon the way that they attack their job, the way that they attack life, not the way they feel inside as much as it is the way they show how they feel inside. It's what they do. And so I think in many ways, if you want to get a business partner, you want to find a business partner, then you start attacking and other people will come to you. Think about this. If you're at a party and you look like you're having a good time, other people are going to walk over and go, hey, what's going on, right? It's what you're doing. If you're on the wall waiting and looking and observing, you know, you might not get the same sort of action. So the way you attack is key.
So when you think about entrepreneurs who are attacking, I mean, you've met with thousands, literally, of entrepreneurs, and you've invested, you know, in almost 40, right? And you've had to say no to some as well. So when you think about those entrepreneurs that have pitched you and they've met you and that you've, you know, interacted with, what did they look like when they were attacking? And what did they look like when they weren't attacking? And you said, this is a pass for me mm-hmm. for those reasons.
Well, one of the things, it's up to like 40 companies now. One of the ones that I invested into early on was a jet ski company, a solopreneur, if you will, right? Why would I invest into this solopreneur? It was because of the way he was attacking. A good friend of mine says, passion is not part-time. So this guy, I invited him to come on the show. He had moved from New York to locate his business here in Sacramento. He was introduced to me as a potential show guest. And I said, okay, Jordan Darling is his name. And I said to him, hey, Jordan, if you're coming on the show, I'd like to talk to you about the conversation. You want to meet at my office or your office or out on the water, right? He has a jet ski company, and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I kind of like water sports, so I said, how about if we let's meet out on the water? So he shows me how to ride this stand-up jet ski that's made out of fiberglass, and he ends up kind of making it a great little pre-interview. And I asked him at the end of the pre-interview, I said, hey, are you taking on investors? And I just said that kind of jokingly, because I had fallen in love with this 23-year-old kid named Jordan Darling within a few minutes, because I was talking to him about how many hours a week do you work and how many hours a day do you work? And he's like, I work about 18 hours a day. And I believed him, right? I could see how passionate he was around, you know, building this super lightweight jet ski that he lifted out of the truck himself, right? And it's like, oh, interesting. And he said, I work 18 hours a day. And I was like, how are you taking investors? He's like, actually, I am. And so I came on as one of his early investors. And he really wasn't one of those ones we just talked about. You know, I talk about stuff like there is no problem more sales won't fix. And I like to invest into companies that are very scalable. This one got acquired pretty quickly and became a unicorn, which is a billion-dollar valuation privately held company, right? A privately held company that's worth over $1 billion. It's a unicorn. So I'm now invested into this unicorn. Started off as Freeform. Now it's called Nikola, right? He became the first electric jet ski in the world with all kinds of patents based right here out of Sacramento, got bought by a company based out of Arizona, Nikola, and they're actually going public next month. By the time this airs, they may have just gone public, and I'll have taken an angel investment into becoming not only a unicorn, but a publicly held company, just a true success story. Why? Because of the way he was attacking his passion. It was attractive. It was like, wow, I just want to be around this guy. I want to live vicariously through this young man. And I am today. He's now a vice president at Nikola, and they're building this whole off-road business along with a product that's going to replace diesel trucks. It's an incredible story, and it started with him as a show guest. I mean, you never know who your next business partner is. It's kind of that proof of you never know who's watching, right? Like if you're out there playing baseball today, or you know, nobody's playing baseball because of the crisis, but you're out there, you know, working a minimum wage job. You never know who's looking, right? Your next business partner might be a radio show host, right? Me. And it turned out to be a win-win for both of us because that company blew up. His other co-investors have done well as I have. So just a tremendous story started right here through entrepreneurship in Sacramento.
So within minutes, you saw him attacking. You wanted to be part of his story.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm not even really an investor yet. He's one of my first investments.
Yeah. But I want to make sure these entrepreneurs understand the flip side, which is you've met people that within minutes you knew you were going to pass, right? They could have talked for hours longer, but you know, you knew either within minutes or during this time that they weren't attacking, or there was something about them that you didn't align with. So
yeah,
what
well,
is
all,
that?
Yeah, interesting. So all the entrepreneurs that I invest to, I consider them rock stars, right? And all rock stars kind of all have one thing in common, right? There, you might be a little bit country, you might be a little bit rock and roll, but all rock stars have the ability to make you want to get up, move around a little bit, right? That's what rock stars do. That's what Jordan Darling did. Not everybody is built that way. And I look for rock stars, number one, are they going to be leaders? Because I want to invest into companies that can scale, that can get bigger. And there's a leadership component in that really comes through. And I call that the rock star factor. But more importantly than that, I mentioned earlier, passion is not part-time. So commitment level is huge. I I'm not a fan of investing into people that have multiple priorities, aren't quite willing to quit their job yet, right? So that's a little less committed. So I look for a commitment level, people who are all in on their idea, have put skin in the game, right? Which demonstrates the commitment level. It's not just the money that they're putting in, the sacrifice, and that looks different for all of us. So I look for that level of sacrifice and commitment. I look for authenticity. If there's a value that that I respect as much as anything, is this: are people authentic? And then also, I look for humility, right? And I think all of us meet people that come across as phony or full of themselves. And that lack of authenticity, that lack of humility is really off-putting to me personally, no matter what kind of success they might have. To me, I want people, as I think about our backyard, right? I want to invest into people that make our backyard stronger, right? And a certain level, you know, of commitment is needed. Of course, the authenticity, and of course, the humility. If you don't have that along with the rock star factor, then I don't think you're a good fit for the backyard. Because as we talked about in the last show, I have this vision of backyard business partners that all love each other and want to help each other, and we can get synergy from our portfolio. And if you don't fit in the backyard, you don't fit in the backyard.
So that's really interesting, you know, this balance of attacking but being authentic. Right. I mean, because if some people could see or hear this and say attacking, OK, I've got to be pitching. I've got to be, you know, in their face. I've got to be, you know, really sharing this at an elevated level. Right. But that could be perceived as not authentic. Right. Because you're just talking and talking and talking. And, you know, what is it? Is there not listening? You know, what are those moments where, you know, hey, this person is authentic because they said this. I saw this. This is how they behaved. Help me understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you make a good point there. Not listening is a great sign of whether somebody is humble or not. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of authenticity, there are people that are talking out of their rear end, and it's obvious. So as much as you're attacking, you should be attacking with a point of view and a conviction on things that you know to be right versus guessing. So if you're pitching to somebody that has got extensive business experience and you don't know what they know, right? You don't know what their point of view is on certain items. And so if you're professing to be all-knowing, then in an area where you don't know, that can be very off-putting to an investor, and that's the perfect time to admit that you don't know, right? So people who will admit that they don't have all the answers yet are a lot more authentic than the people that are going to counter every objection with the right answer from their point of view, because none of us know more than we don't know. In other words, there's more unknowns in life than there are knowns. And so the people that profess to know more than they really do are just lying to everybody, including themselves.
Yeah. So I think both in building your inner circle as well as, you know, getting investors, right? It's that authenticity of saying, I need partners. I'm looking for partners. And, you know, is it that moment that, you know, really attracts you where you say, look, they're not just searching for money, but they are attacking, but in a way that they want partners, they want people to help them. And, you know, you as an investor want to help?
Yeah, I do want to add value to my companies. And that's kind of the idea of investing into Sacramento companies where we all know each other and love each other and we're like family among one another. I think that knowing them is a good start, right? If I just write checks to companies and ideas all over the country, I'll probably never know the founders. And number one, that's not as fun for a guy like me. I like to live vicariously through these business partners. That's the fun of angel investing. That's the rewarding part of this thing. Beyond the financial reward, I like it's feels right to do that. And I know it's good for my hometown. But in terms of, you know, how do we increase their likelihood of success? That's another thing that I feel like I can help do in many cases. So when I look at a prospective founder, I do look at the business and their resources and think, how can I add value beyond capital, right? So we virtually always write checks, but I like to add value from my team. So I look at how do our assets line up with, and our resources line up with their resources. And my resources and the Haney Biz resources are vast, right? Not only our network, our Rolodex, if you will, very extensive, having lived here all my life, having the backyard that we have, other co-investors in these portfolio companies. I'm invested into many venture capital, all the venture capital companies here in the Sacramento region I'm invested into. So the Rolodex, if you will, of follow-on investors here in Sacramento, other co-investors, our accounting firm, our outsourced CFO people, our marketing companies that we have associated with us, these groups of people really increase the likelihood for a founder's success, for a small business success. And I think joining our team, joining the Haney Biz family of companies, is really, it can, not only does it decrease the odds of failure, right, of catastrophic failure, because nobody builds a truly great company alone, and you want experts and more capital in your life, so in that way it's de-risked. But on the other side, the chances of it blowing up and becoming a lot bigger are increased, because look, I've built some businesses that have gotten to exits and up to a few hundred million. I just talked about Jordan Darling, who's built a company, he's part of a unicorn that's going public. The experience levels of the different business partners that we have as part of this family of companies that all love one another is there's nothing like it, right? There's nothing like it in Sacramento. It's just getting started. These 40, it's not just 40 entrepreneurs. It's how many other co-investors, how many of their teammates, how many of their customers, how many of their Rolodex, right? It is an army of people that want to help this cause, not just to help Mark Haney, but to help the Sacramento region build businesses, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So building an inner circle, whether it be a business partner, investor, first step, attack your passion.
I believe so. That's because that's part of the recruitment process. Yeah. And I think it's huge, but I think it's not the only step, right? If I had to break it down into three, the second one would be commit resources correctly, right? You attack hard, never stop attacking. And if it doesn't work one way, you attack from a different direction. It's what a lot of us are doing right now in the COVID crisis. But how we allocate our resources, right? We each have certain gifts, certain resources, and the way we allocate those is enormous, right? That's everything. Whether you're the president of Federal Express or FedEx or UPS, or the president of some small restaurant in town, how you allocate those precious resources, your employees, the cash on your balance sheet, the cash flows, who's doing what on who's on what seat of the bus, that's the most important thing that we do. And I think when people decide what bus to get into, they want to, who they want to invest into, how to build an inner circle, how you allocate those resources is key.
So let's break that down a little bit. I mean, you're a CEO, you need to allocate your resources. And we're talking about building inner circle as well. So, how does allocating resources help you find those partners, and how do you make those difficult decisions? I mean, you can be looking at priorities and, you have to make those tough decisions. Otherwise you're focused on too much. So help me understand, first point, how does allocating resources get you business partners, get you investors, build that inner circle? And then being, a former CEO and a current CEO of Haney Biz as well, you know, how do you make those difficult decisions with allocation in mind?
Yeah, and I think every business is at a different stage, right? Age and stage is huge, and the opportunity is huge too. So some windows of opportunity are wide and they'll be there a long time. Others are narrow and closing. And in many cases, one of the challenges I see with a lot of entrepreneurs is what I call shiny objects syndrome. It's where we chase too many different things. I'm guilty of that myself. And I think the more that we can focus on the one dream as an entrepreneur and narrow the focus, the better chance we have of hitting that particular goal. So before you start attacking 2, 3, 4, 5 different business opportunities or divisions, it's best to make sure that one is going to succeed. And the biggest opportunities need to get the best resources, the most resources. So really, it's around the size of the opportunity. And sometimes it means surviving. So we always have to keep in the back of our mind that survival is a part of this. And so these are, it's different for every company. But I do think that making sure that we attack the winners more than we attack the legacy lose or maybe even the losers is important. And I think there's examples of people who have done that and not done that. Because I think you can think about brick and mortar retail that didn't pivot to online fast enough, and they're now out of business. We all know that exists. And why did they do that? Is because they didn't allocate their resources correctly. But I think the ones that are pivoting to digital are investing into things that are going to be here for the next gen. It's key. And I think that you in a time like now, if you're running out of runway, right? If you're not profitable, then you've really got to narrow your focus so that you can focus on getting to cash flow positive in many cases. So each situation is a little bit different, mm-hmm. but I do think that once you know what you're going to do, then I think going all in on the best opportunities is huge, and putting the other ones, either canceling them or running them to maximize as cash cows and to feed the best opportunity.
Great, yeah. So we're talking about allocating resources and looking at the best opportunities, and then survival, which I think is important. What do you think are the key questions that you need to ask yourself when making those decisions? I mean, let's talk about opportunities. You say, okay, I've got 3 opportunities. Which one is the best one? You know, what are the key questions? Is it just about, hey, which has the most opportunity for revenue? Is it which one has the most opportunity for growing the value of the company? Is it which one has the most opportunity to have customer success? You know, what are those key questions when you're thinking about opportunities?
Yeah, interesting question. I think every business has probably some different goals. I think most of us want to increase the value of our companies. And so that's ultimately where a lot of us are taking this, because we want choices, right? I think a lot of us build these businesses so we have choices. We have options on how we might do things. So the value of our company is real, that gives us the choices, right? We can borrow against the value of our company. We can sell the company and we've got value. If the company has a lot of value, it creates all kinds of opportunity for teammates and so on. So I think we want to, generally speaking, be thinking about what drives the value of our company, but that might be revenue growth versus profit growth. It just depends on the business model. There's some people that can be a break-even business, and just need to get user growth and traction, and sales growth. And really the bottom line is not as important because, and the value of their company goes up. Other businesses really need to get to maximize profitability in order to maximize the value of the company. So, probably depends on the business, but I would assess your business and think about what the value drivers are in the business. What makes your company more valuable? And a software company, for example, that's growing fast might not be focused on the bottom line at the moment, because really they intend on being valued. They are valued on top line, on growth rate and overall revenue. Mm-hmm. And they can afford to have, less profits.
Yeah. So we're talking about committing resources. When you think about whether it's your personal business experience or, you know, companies you've invested in, where are some of those examples where you knew someone was committing their resources appropriately, where you knew their commitment was right in line with where it should be?
Good question. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head is who's become the fastest growing meal delivery company, organic meal delivery company in the nation, Trifecta Nutrition. And Greg Conley, the founder, I invested into that company when they were, I think, a few million in sales, just an up and comer. And now they're on a run rate of 150 million, something like that. They're way bigger. They're 50 times bigger and growing, right? And growing fast. I don't want to get too much into their, profitability and so on, but that growth, he's focused on top line growth, right? He's managed to be profitable enough to pay the bills and hire the right teammates and so on to drive a great company culture and their offices in a really cool place. But really it's around top line growth. He's done it through influencer marketing. And so the way I've seen him build his business is build a great product. People love the food. He continues to focus on innovative offerings with his healthy food choices. But the lion's share of the spend, a lot of the spend is in building out the systems associated with top line growth, the digital marketing systems, the teams, and the digital marketing content, and the influencers that it takes to drive top line growth. And lo and behold, the bottom line comes together too in his business when the top line grows. But the focus is really top line, and it's been it's a highly successful company in a very crowded market.
Great. So focusing on those influencers, that community of customers, and focusing on the tools, you know, you saw him early on committing those resources to achieve that top line growth.
Absolutely. I was blown away. More than by the taste of the food. I like healthy food. I like their salmon. They've got good salmon over at Trifecta Nutrition, which is something I like. But I think more importantly than that, okay, good meal, you can get that anywhere, but you get it delivered to your house. So the delivery mechanism was very unique. It's very fresh. It's like, okay, that's a great system, but you know, nobody's going to buy it if they don't know about it, right? So he has a way of letting people know about it and making it cool to eat right, right? So he's got major influencers in UFC and the MMA world and other major sports like CrossFit and so on. They eat his stuff and they look good and they feel good. And it's sort of aspirational. We all want to look good and feel good. So it makes us want to eat Trifecta. And he has a way of getting that message out through influencers, through people like me that love the product, right? We want to shout it out to the world. And so he spends a lot of his resources helping them to share that news with the world.
Great. So we're talking about the power of with, building an inner circle. We've learned, first thing, attack your passion. Second, commit your resources. What's the third thing?
Yeah, commit your resources most opportunistically. The third thing, and it's something that I think a lot of us struggle with at times, I know I have, is amplifying our why, right? I mean, I think we all have these dreams. At some point you get in business and you know there's you imagine what your business can be and why you're doing what you're wanting to do. So I think it's very important to capture that yourself, to really understand why you're doing what you're doing. But if you leave that hidden in your heart, right? If nobody knows why you're doing what you're doing, then people aren't going to rally to help you as much. And I think that if there's something that's key to building business partners and the inner circle and letting people and attracting people to what you're doing, It's letting them know, letting the world know why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that that's really how you and I have connected on more of a deeper level, Rick, is as you hear about why I'm doing what I'm doing, the backyard dream, opportunity through commitment, as they succeed, we succeed, right? If I kept that inside, you and I wouldn't be talking right now. And so a lot of us keep these things inside, and I can go back through the history of every career from paper route to video stores to building video security to now igniting the entrepreneurial revolution and creating millionaire business partners in my backyard. It only took off when I had the courage to amplify my why, to share the purpose with other people so they could be part of my dream with me. If we are so afraid of what other people might think about what we're doing, I mean, a lot of people would think I'm crazy for having such a ridiculously big dream of 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard, or igniting the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown I love, or the billion-dollar dream of my video security business, right? These dreams that sound fantastic or impossible, but there's a why behind each one of those, right? I love it when someone succeeds, it's good for other people. It's good for humanity. It's good for our hometown. And look, everybody might think, everybody may not rally around this, but you know, you don't need everybody. You just need a few. And in an inner circle, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, right? That's all you need, is 4 or 5 people to get in the foxhole with you who will take a reduction in pay in the COVID crisis, that will outwork everybody if that's what it takes, will help you amplify your why to the rest of the world, right? That will bring their expertise and their Rolodex and their personal resource, rally their families around the cause in a way that that makes the entire organization stronger. I mean, you don't need that many people to be in that inner circle, but if you never share it, why you're doing what you're doing with the world, then you won't even get the first one, right? You should do that with your spouse at home if you are an entrepreneur, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. I mean, you should do it at your company meetings. You should be screaming from the rooftops, if you have enough courage, why you're doing what you're doing. And if you don't have the courage to do that, then you have limited the people who will know that you need a business partner, and that that know that that opportunity even exists.
So amplifying the why sounds like it's, you know, two-sided, right? I mean, you're amplifying your why to get these business partners, to build your inner circle. But when you're thinking about those business partners, you want to know that they're going to amplify the why as well, right? Yeah.
And I think the other thing I think that goes along with it, that they'll amplify the why. Why would they amplify the why, right? Well, number one, you make it easy to share the message, right? I call it handles, right? So that's why I'm with the mantras and the markisms and the catchphrases and so on. But I think more importantly than that is having your why connect to their why, right? Melding the whys, right? So combining them. If you can merge whys, you want, Rick, what we're doing, not just for me, you want it for you, right? You are seeing how it helps you with your, what's important to you in your life. So where do these values align? You and I are very, very different people, but where do we match up in life, right? Where do our puzzle pieces meet? The stars align at some level for us, and it's not on 100% of every issue, right? And that's the beauty. Diversity is awesome for any inner circle in any team. You want a diverse workforce. You want a diverse inner circle, people who aren't all just like you. but they have the similar values. They can align with your why. They can help shape your why and make it better, right? Maybe more easy to understand for a broader group of people or for a more specific group of people. So the right business people or the right inner circle is the right sounding board for developing your why. And I tell you what, why I want what I want has a lot to do with what you want in your life. I want you to succeed. I want Scott and Brian to succeed. And if I don't even think about what's important to them in their life, if I don't do a little bit of listening, then I've missed the opportunity to amplify my why, because really a part of my why is what's important to you, Rick Spencer. And so if I quit listening, that's my bad.
All right, so we're thinking about this inner circle. We're attacking our passion. We're committing our resources opportunistically, and we're amplifying the why. I think it's a great game plan, and there's something really important that you said a moment ago that I think we should finish up on, which is you don't need everybody. Because I think about if someone's doing all three of those things, everybody would want to be part of that team, right? But you're talking about an inner circle, so you're talking about some of those trusted partners and scaling that team. So how do you select those partners, right? If everybody does what, if you're doing those things and everyone wants to be part of the team, how do you select those people to be part of the inner circle?
Yeah. Interesting question. I think open-mindedness is a good place to start when you're making friends. I think nobody's great at everything, but everybody can be great at something, which is kind of interesting. But talent does not trump toughness, right? So talent will only get you so far. Toughness can take you the rest of the way. And I think if you're picking a spouse, if you're picking a best friend, if you're picking a business partner, if you're choosing somebody to be in your inner circle, you want somebody who is willing to get through the fight with you, right? So all these efforts, best friends, marriages, building an entrepreneurial endeavor, a successful business. These are not for the faint of heart. These are full contact type of activities. And they're, you know, a lot of them, the statistics say a lot fail, right? We all know that. So you need somebody that's tough. Now, how do you know who's got that toughness? Who's got that staying power? Who will be there for you? And you can guess. I think that, you know, and you might get it right, right? That we know of love at first sight and it works. So I'm not opposed to guessing at some level, but there's nothing like proof, right? There's nothing like somebody that leads with a sacrifice. Leads, you know, we say lead with a give. We hear those kind of things. Well, yeah, that's nice and that's cliche, but a real sacrifice. Not just something friendly and helpful, but like, no, wow, that person, I just know they would take one. They would take one for me. They take one for the team type thing. Take one for the cause. And those kind of things you just don't know by having a beer with somebody over at the bar. You don't know that right off. Probably you know that when you're in a street fight and they jump in and start, you know, helping, right? If they run for help instead of helping in the fight, then you know that's a sign, right? So to me, it's like which ones are gonna run for help and go call the police, and which ones are jumping in the fight and fighting alongside you and taking over. And I think those things happen when you know people better. And I think this is the perfect time to know that. It's kind of interesting. If you have a teammate now, there's no better time to look around and go, which ones are sitting back playing armchair quarterback and which ones are in the fight alongside you, maybe in front of you, trying to lead the way in the fight. And this, there's never been, I mean, when you go through crisis, you know, or anything that, you know, any challenge, this is where it separates the, you know, the men from the boys, the adults from the children, and how you deal with tough times. This is it, right? Who you're, you know, find out who your friends are type thing. And You can guess on that and be right, and good luck to you. But I think the more that you know somebody, so if there's an entrepreneur out there that's kind of considering that, who do you work with right now that is doing that right now for your current employer? Who's already doing that and you already see that? You know that it's in their character, right? It's in their makeup to rock and roll when it's game time, right? You know that. We all know those people in my life, in our lives. So when I went out to build video store or, you know, build security camera companies, like, I look back to everybody I knew, not just who could sell, and I probably wasn't as clear on this earlier, who could fight, right? So who, close friends would do anything for me, would do, you know, that rock and roll, that had the capacity in their heart to be loyal, right? Other people have already demonstrated that to you. They've already shown their cards. I'm kind of in it for myself. 10-4, right? Those people have already identified themselves if you know them at any level. So this is where we sit back and go, in it for themselves, in it for themselves. And we're all in it for ourselves at some level, but can play for a team cause, can put the team first. You can identify those people right now in the team that you're on, whether you're an entrepreneur or just an entry-level worker. You look around and you can see the difference, and you know the people from your last job who are those people. Those are your business partners, my friends.
So you've got to look harder maybe to the people you're already connected with, right? You may not have thought about them as your inner circle, but you know them intimately. You've seen the challenges that they've overcome. You've seen how they fight. And so those people may just need to be invited.
Yeah.
So we've got those people. And then, but you're also talking about love at first sight. And, you know, that could work. So I think about, you know, you meet that person that you feel like that they should be part of your team. You know, there's something there, that chemistry, right? That you just can't explain. Yeah. You can't quantify. Is that the question? Is tell me about how you fight for what you believe in? Is that how you get to understand their makeup?
I think for everybody, it's different. Some people are say less, some people get the point across with very few words. And so I think every relationship is different. And if I think about, I've been married 34 years, that's, as you can imagine, there's ups and downs. And 34,
you said that with some doubt.
34 years. Yeah, it's like it's coming up on 35. It'll be 35 in June. And so maybe by the time this thing rolls, I'll be celebrating my 35th. But look, it's not always easy. I mean, we got challenges with financial stuff, with family, with kids, with, you know, stuff, life, right? And, my wife and I, we were probably going through, you know, when we met each other, we're working at the video stores. And I don't think it was love at first sight. You know, you're not supposed to date the employees and all that kind of stuff at the video stores, right? That was a rule. It broke the rule. But, I'm a rule breaker at times. I don't recommend that necessarily, but I did. And I think I had gone through, I was at a point in my life where, I was working a lot of hours, and, you know, we met at a time when it was like I was going through, I won't say a tough time. I mean, business was good. Video stores were kicking butt, but, you know, I was exhausted. I needed, she was the perfect one at the right time. But since then, she's proven that she's got the staying power to sort of stay with. She likes me for who I am, right? You know what I mean? It's like she, which is kind of an interesting thing. So you need somebody who is willing to sort of accept you for who you are. And not everybody's built that way. So you are who you are, Rick. We're different. You sort of have to accept me for who I am, because we both know I'm not perfect. And I need to accept you for who you are. You're a heck of a lot more perfect than I am. But you know what I mean? So that's kind of the thing is, we have to accept each other for who we are. So when you talk about chemistry, part of that is appreciating what makes you great. Because we all, it's like we talked about earlier, everybody's got greatness inside, right? And it's like, if I can't see that greatness in you and accept that you're not great at everything, but accept the part of you that is great and embrace the part of you that is great, it's like, Yeah, the toughness. Okay, yeah, that's like a foundational thing. But the part of you that is special and great and unique and talented and like, wow, how does your yin go with my yang? And what other piece of the puzzle do we need to make this the perfect inner circle? Like, we're developing that together, but appreciating that, you know, if you and I don't have all those things, well, with Monique and with Ian and Tim and Brian and Scott and these other players, it's like, wow, we've got an open-mindedness, a humility level to go like, it might not be just us. It might not be just you and me. Maybe it's not just me and you against the world. We need more help, right? You have the humility where I and the intelligence where I think you can help us figure that out. And I think that's what my wife Stacy is to me. I think that's what, you know, we are together with Tim and, you know, Ian, Monique, and you know, Brian and Tammy, and you know, all the other Haiti Biz teams. Scott, I don't want to leave Scott out. He's right back behind me. I can't leave him out. He's right behind me. So, you know, we have a team around here, and all our portfolio companies together, we sort of fit together in this really cool puzzle. And we make up for each other when we're having bad days. And we offset each other because we all know I suck at a lot of stuff. So you guys all have to kind of like step in and fix where, you know, where I'm no good. So, and you accept me for that, right? And so that's what makes a team.
Everyone has greatness, so you need to stay open-minded and find that greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think stay open-minded and see the greatness in the person at Starbucks, the person sweeping the floor, the first day on the job, the customer that walks through the door. There's something, even if they're having a bad day, there's something great in there in that person. You just have to stay open-minded to it.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap this segment about the power of with, building your inner circle. We've talked about attacking your passion, committing your resources opportunistically, and amplifying your why. You know, teamwork is work, right? It's hard. And I want to end by asking you a question about celebration, right? There's a lot of hard work that goes into building a great team. There's a lot of sacrifice. You know, there's ups and downs, right? There's going to be hopefully healthy debate, but sometimes arguments and disagreements, and you know, there's going to be, you know, all types of challenges physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, but you have to celebrate to keep the team together, to keep it moving forward. So when you think about celebration, you know, what's the frequency, what's the style, what is your thought process about celebration?
I don't know that I'm, you know, I'm the guy that's always wanting to throw the party to have fun, and it's not always celebratory. Part of it's just to unwind. But I do think that celebrating success is important, and small wins. I've been accused of not wanting to celebrate small wins enough by a lot of people, and so I don't know that I'm the perfect example of what to do or how to think on this topic, because I do think that, you know, one per, you know, coaching football, there's a child that or a young person that is gifted in throwing a football, and another person that really doesn't have those skills, and it's just them showing up and making it through a practice is worth celebrating, right? So we're all at different stages. So I think celebration should be looked at in the micro level so much. So if we should celebrate individuals' success as well as team success. So I think it's important that we look for things to celebrate. And a lot of times I'm a guy that sort of forgets to celebrate, because we also know that the goal is bigger than in baseball is bigger than just getting on first base, right? It's to get around the bases and score. So how often do you go out to watch a Little League game and there's a 12-year-old that hits a line drive, a base hit, and gets on first base and is so busy jumping around, high-fiving the first base coach, looking in the stands for their parents' approval. And they don't realize they could be taking second base because the throw coming in got away from the infielder and they missed their opportunity to steal second, right? They were so busy celebrating that they forgot for the moment what the real goal is. And they know they're 12. They know that the idea is to get around the bases. So I do think that celebration is important, but we shouldn't lose sight of what the goal is. There's a time and a place to celebrate, and we should celebrate if it's a personal victory for you, if it's your first hit of the season, if it's your first sale of the career, or if you're the sales champion. We should celebrate all of those, but I think we should look at things individually at some level, but really recognizing what the team goal is, right? And really, that's when the broader success is celebrating when the team wins. And so I tend to want to save up for when the team wins and forget to do all the little celebrations that are really important in camaraderie and in self-esteem and so on. So don't lose sight of that. But more importantly, don't lose sight of what it looks like when the team wins.
So we're wrapping up this series of segments, learning the Mark Haney story. We've learned about, you know, your initial, stages of being an entrepreneur from boy to man, as we say, and, scaling the entrepreneurial mountain at Northern Video, building the backyard, and now some of these, core tenets about the power of with and building an inner circle. As we wrap up these segments, I wonder, Mark Haney sitting here today, if he were to be able to go back in time and talk to Mark Haney, the paper boy, what guidance, what advice would you share with that boy?
Great question. I would say, believe in the dream and dream big. And believe in the dream. Find a way to believe in the dream. Because every time that I've set the big dream and begun to believe in it, right? It's got my proof of concept, really began to believe, right? It starts as just sort of a dream. And then every moment when the moment that I really got the confidence that this is going to work, like when you recently made a different level of commitment to this team, right? My confidence level went up on achieving this backyard vision and this backyard dream. And believe in the dream. Believe in your ability, Mark, to find the people, to get the people to help you reach your dreams. Because I look back on this as like, I'm not good at a lot of stuff, but if I look back on things, the one thing I have had some level of success in is putting the people in my life to help me achieve our dreams and believe in those dreams. Because every moment that I've spent doubting, frustrated, maybe thinking it might not work and all that, fear, uncertainty, doubt stuff, it's a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. So believe in the dream, minimize the doubt, and put those people in your life that that help you to believe in the dream.
Thank you, Mark. I think no one would challenge that your energy is infectious. I think what you've shown us over these last few episodes is your humility is amazing. And I hope that that characteristic becomes infectious as well, because I think that's what it'll take to build a team, to build that dream, and to help other entrepreneurs. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to The Mark Haney Show. It's our goal to inspire, educate all the up-and-coming entrepreneurs so they can change the world. If you like today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share it so we can help more entrepreneurs unleash their full potential.